What do you say?
Brougham shook his head.
My father, Arran Vaux, is a creature who goes his own way. He will never leave Noonvale. As for our tribe, well, they generally do what he tells them to.
Aye, brother, our father is as stubborn as you. That's why the two of you always quarrel. But maybe I can persuade Mother. She'd ask him to help you. I know she would.
Martin held the squirrel's paw tighter.
What do you say, Feldo? Shall we give it a try?
There was a moment's silence. Then Feldo nodded.
I'm with you. If we can raise an army at Noonvale, then one day I'll return to dance on Bad Rang's grave.
Martin's eyes shone at the thought of it.
And I'll be dancing with you, friend, holding the sword that once belonged to my father.
Rose, Brougham and Grun clasped their paws with Martin and Feldo over the escape hole.
We'll do it! Friends together!
Chapter 8.
Captain Salmon Clog was beginning to feel discouraged. No matter how hard and long he beat at Marshank's gates with his battering ram, they seemed to hold up. Grizzle, Deadjaw, Floater and the rest were seated on the shore beneath the upturned boat, blowing for breath as they massaged weary paws. Clog struck the side of the boat with his cutlass.
What's the matter, you lily-livered sea scum? Weary already? Come on now, hearties, up on your paws and give it one more go. She's splintering, I tell you. Why, a couple more bangs and we'll be through into the fortress.
Grizzle sucked noisily at a skinned paw.
Oh, Captain, I thought you said one more go half an hour back, and we're still charging those gates like mad beasts.
Clog cocked a fierce eye at the complaining sea rat.
You're grizzling, Grizzle. Always grizzling. Now up off those hunkers, mate, and charge that gate before I charge you with this frog sticker.
He waved his cutlass threateningly. There was a knocking on the outside of the boat.
Captain, it's Wetpaw. Come quick and take a look out here.
The boat was lifted, and Clog poked his head from underneath.
Look at what, mate?
The ferret pointed to reddy-orange glow illuminating the sky beyond the headland. It took a moment for realization to sink in. Then the pirate stoat let out an agonized wail and began tearing at his braided beard, the clumsy wooden clogs clicking together as he performed an anguished jig on the shore.
Wah! The slime-coated villain's burning me ship! Yeah! Me lovely sea scarab! Pride of me heart! Bad Rang, you rotten, foul-nosed worm, stinking, screw-tailed stoat, warp-eyed, snotty-snouted shark!
The Corsair crew looked on in dismay as their captain gave full vent to his spleen. Hurling himself at the gates, he hacked with his cutlass, kicked with his clogs, even gnawed savagely at the woodwork with his teeth as he yelled between mouthfuls of splinters.
I'll rip your liver and lights out and feed them to the crabs! I'll cut off in your head and throw it in your face. I'll string up your tripes for rigging. I'll pickle your tail and burn in brine. I'll...
Skalrag and his archers stood paw-deep in the sea, the water scarlet and gold with reflections from the blazing vessel. They blinked as ash cloth from the sail drifted subtly by on the breeze. The sea scarab was settling down in flames on the shallow bay bed, and timbers crackled as blazing pitch bubbled from the seams. Two rats who had been left on watch were draped limply in death over the gunwales, blazing arrows extinguishing themselves in their backs. With its great green sail burned away, the mast stood like a fiery beacon against a star-studded night. It cracked and broke, falling in an avalanche of sparks. The vessel heeled over, listing at a crazy angle as seawater met flames with a loud steaming hiss. Skalrag turned to his archers, satisfied.
There's one ship that won't put out to sea again. Form up and follow me. We'll take care of those longboats before we head back to Marshank.
The wily fox did not want to attract attention from the battle area by burning the longboats.
Put up those bows. Use your swords and knives to hold these boats. That'll leave Clog trapped on the shore.
Unaware that the longboats were being destroyed, Martin and his companions were heading for them, figuring to take one and sail further up the coast, where they would leave the boat and travel to Noonvale for help. Feldo looked to the fiery glow beyond the headland.
We'd better hurry. Those sea rats will be coming for their longboats to see if they can save their ship.
Martin glanced back toward the fortress as he remarked to his friend.
Good guess, Feldo. There's a whole bunch of them coming this way.
The dark shapes of yelling corsairs could be seen leaving the fray and making for the longboats. Martin grasped Brougham's paw.
Let's put a move on, otherwise they'll catch up with us.
Grun had been looking ahead toward the boats.
Look it! There be other vermin by they boats, and they see us'ns.
Oh, beasts, behind and before us, Martin. Either way is trouble.
We can't turn back now. There's less of them in front of us. Keep going. We'll have to chance rushing them. Rose, take rum and brome, pick out a boat and get going. Feldo and I will hold them off. Please, don't argue. Just do as I say. Right, Feldo?
Right. I recognize that half-eared rogue at the boats. It's Skalrag. There's about 10 with him. Let's get at it, Martin.
The young mouse and the squirrel dashed towards Skalrag's group, yelling at the top of their voices.
Freedom! Charge!
Skalrag was not sure whether the swiftly advancing pair were armed, though he knew by their warlike cries that they intended doing battle. The fox hesitated a moment, unsure whether to meet them sword in paw or go for his bow. He lost the initiative, barely having time to shout a warning to his archers before Martin and Feldo were on him. The squirrel grabbed Skalrag's sword paw, struggling to get hold of the blade as Martin dealt the nearest rat a flying kick with both foot paws.
Help me! Help!
Skalrag was screaming. Now some of Clog's creatures spotted the activity by the longboats. They unsheathed their weapons and dashed forward to protect their boats. Two rats went down under the hefty digging claws of Grum and a hearty wallop from a chunk of driftwood held by Rose. Brome began shoving the smallest of the boats out into the surf, and Grum and Rose lent their weight to his efforts. Martin was holding on to one rat who was trying to stop the boat, whilst he held the head of another under the water. Feldo had a stranglehold on Skalrag, whose sword belt had snapped. Both sword and belt were lost somewhere in the shallows. The corsairs came charging in, yelling, surf splashing beneath their paws. Rose leaned over the stern of the small boat, pulling Brome in while Grum found the oars. She began shouting,
Martin! Feldo! Over here, quickly!
Thinking swiftly, Martin stunned the sea rat with a heavy blow. Grabbing a half-throttled Skalrag from Feldo, he thrust the fox at the corsairs.
Here, mates! One of Badrang's lot tried to steal our boats!
With a concerted howl of rage, the corsairs threw themselves upon Skalrag, and another rat, Feldo, pushed towards them. Martin nudged his friend, whispering urgently,
Quick! Into the boat!
Half-wading, half-swimming through the dark night waters, they made for the boat. Grum and Brome held oars over the stern to them.
Brr! Aesensers!
As they grabbed the oars and began climbing aboard, the corsairs suddenly realized what was going on.
Those ain't sea rats! Stop them!
The ferret called Boggs yelled hoarsely. Martin scrambled into the boat, but Feldo was having a hard time with his huge bushy tail weighed down by seawater. The rat called Grouch floundered forward and seized the squirrel's foot paws. From the boat, Martin managed to grab Feldo by his other two paws. Then another sea rat latched onto Feldo's tail, and a tug of war began. Feldo was stretched between water and boat, helpless, his mouth filled with salt water. Rose leaned over the stern, wielding an oar. Thunk! Boff! She stunned the rats with two direct hits. Martin heaved mightily, and Feldo came tumbling into the boat. While some of the corsairs held Skalrag and his platoon prisoner, the rest jumped into the boats and began rowing after the escapers.
Row! Paddle with your paws! Anything! Hurry! They're coming after us!
Grum sat in the stern, not moving. Rose looked at him curiously.
Come on, Grum. Paddle. Don't just sit there.
The mole shrugged unhappily.
I can't move, Missy. If I do, us'll sink. I be sitting right on a good hole in your boat.
The mole sat completely soaked, blocking the hole as best he could, with water swilling around the bottom of the boat. Brome started to laugh. Feldo eyed him disapprovingly.
I can't see much to laugh about, young'un. It's not a very funny situation we're in.
Brome held his sides as he tried to paddle and stop laughing at the same time.
I'm sorry, Feldo, can't help it. Oh, dearie me, look at those creatures.
The two boats loaded with corsairs that were following were only going one way, down. Rose joined in with Brome's laughter.
Of course, that's what Badrang's creatures were doing, howling the boats after they set fire to the big ship. Lucky old us, we picked the one with the smallest hole in it.
The corsairs' faces were a picture of abject misery as they bailed furiously while the boats filled up and sank beneath them. They floated about, treading water and watching the small craft low in the water but going strong, head straight out to sea. A joyous shout rang out across the choppy night waves as the little boat pulled away.
Free!
Chapter 9.
Dawn brought with it a lull in the battle at Fortress Marshank. The weather was humid, and a heavy grey sky hung like a pall with greenish-purple tinges out on the horizon. Badrang stood with Gurrod on the wall top. His battle-weary horde ranged along the ramparts, dull-eyed as they ate breakfast and catnapped at their positions. The tyrant Stoke noted with grim satisfaction that he had successfully defended Marshank against the Corsair invasion. But Clog was a resourceful enemy. What would his next move be? Oily-looking plumes of smoke rose into the still air from the cooking fires of the Corsairs on the shore. The pirates were in surly mood. Not only had they failed to breach the gates of the fortress, but they had also suffered the indignity of having their ship gutted by fire and sunk. Captain Trammon Clog and several of his messmates were holding an interrogation session behind a semicircular rocky outcrop close to the tide line. The unfortunate Skalrag and six of his remaining archers were the prisoners they were questioning. They huddled together on the beach, cruelly bound, paw and muzzle, with tough dried kelp strands. Skalrag stifled a terrified whimper as he stared wide-eyed at the ruthless faces of the sea rats and the vicious twinkle in the eyes of Clog. The pirate Stoth drew his cutlass, grinning evilly as he licked the blade and squinted along it toward the quaking fox.
Tell me, Skalrag, what would you do to any beast who set fire to your ship and scuttled her?
Skalrag's muzzle was tightly bound. The most he could manage was a strangled sob. Clog swung the cutlass at the petrified fox's head. It clipped several whiskers and neatly severed the gag. Skalrag fainted clean away in a heap. The Corsairs laughed uproariously as they doused him with seawater to bring him round. Trammon Clog put the point of his cutlass to Skalrag's nose tip.
I wouldn't chop your head off, bucko. Oh, no. That'd be too quick for the likes of you. Avast, mates. Tell this scum what we do to shipburners and scuttlers.
The Corsairs tickled Skalrag with their knife points as they told him.
String him upside down in a crab pool.
Roast him over a slow fire.
Chop off his paws and make him eat him.
Those enter Patron Ram again the fortress gates.
Oh, no, please, Captain. Don't let him do it. I was only carrying out Ben Rang's orders.
Clog sat by the fox and stroked his head soothingly.
There now, matey. Dry your eyes and don't blubber no more. Old Trammon Clog's got an heart soft as swan's down. I won't let no beast kill you. But hearken now. You must swear on your oath that you'll do exactly as I tell you.